As we looked at some of those passages there, this morning we're going to continue our series, and we're going to continue our series on looking at the cross as we lead up to Easter in a month or so's time. And for those of you who've been here before, John's spoken to us previously on the obedience that Jesus showed in going to the cross. And then the week after, Tony looked at some of the things that took place in the Old Testament as that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And then last week, if you remember, Tony looked at the way that Jesus went to the cross as an act of propitiation, a word we don't use very much these days. But basically, he went to the cross to redeem us. And we were reminded that God is a loving God, but one of the expressions of that love is God's anger. And God is angry about our sin, and how through Jesus Christ going to the cross, it was an act of propitiation. His anger was appeased if we believe and trust in that sacrifice of Jesus. And this morning, we're going to look at Jesus' sacrifice a little bit more. And we're going to start to explore the depths of love. This is Valentine's Day. We're going to start to explore the depths of love that Jesus showed in going to the cross as a sacrifice for us. And one second, we're going to look at the words that we have here, and the hope here this morning is that we'll be able to consider God's example. To walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a sacrifice to God. And this morning, we'll look at basically three things. We're going to look at the sacrifice, okay, that Jesus had. We're not going to spend a load of time there. But I'd like us to consider and to think about the depth of God's love. And we'll see that by what it cost him, firstly. Secondly, that we don't frankly deserve it. And then thirdly, some of the benefits of that deep love that Jesus had for us. And then we'll conclude just by thinking about, well, what does that mean for us on a day-to-day basis? How should that motivate us? How should that guide us in our day-to-day lives? So first of all then, the sacrifice that took place. Now then, if you think of a sacrifice, and feel free to shout out here, don't be shy. If you're thinking about the word sacrifice, what does that mean to you? What if someone says sacrifice, what kind of immediately springs to mind?
Give up something.
Give up something, exactly. Anything else? What kind of examples might there be?
A lamb.
A lamb. What do you mean by a lamb?
A sacrificial lamb.
A sacrificial lamb, not lamb for dinner. Okay, yeah, lamb. Sacrificial lamb. Anything else? Day-to-day life.
Cross, something for somebody else.
Do something for somebody else. Sorry, something.
The cross.
The cross.
Helping to teach what Jesus came down to teach us.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, there are examples of sacrifice in day-to-day lives. It might be that for the sake of a relationship, you have to sacrifice certain things. It might be for if you spend time looking after someone else, well, you're sacrificing your own time. It might be you sacrifice years of your life looking after to someone else. It could be that you, I like to think every day, I sacrifice my sleep for my children. And, it could be things on a day-to-day basis. Pardon?
Sacrifice is voluntary. Oh,
Or, we hear about sports people, quite often, to get to the very pinnacle of sport, well, they give up certain things. They might give up their education to become a professional footballer. Or they might give up going out with their friends to practice or whatever it might be, or music, sport, whatever that might be. Some of you, particularly late... Pardon?
I gave up driving.
Gave up driving, okay. Some of you might have given up time, some of you ladies, for looking after your children. You might have given up your career to stay at home, sacrifice your career for your children. Or on a much bigger scale, if we think of tales of war, people who have given up, sacrificed their own life for others, whether it be others in their regiment or they have sacrificed themselves for other people around them. Or it could be in the case of a rescue. I was reading a story of someone who, there was a flight in 1982 when the plane came down in a frozen river, a frozen lake, and everyone was killed on the plane apart from six people. And these six people were in the frozen lake waiting to be rescued. And 20 minutes later, the helicopter came, and they dropped down a life buoy for them to hold on to. And they dropped it to a man named Arland Williams. And he immediately passed that life buoy onto someone else. And that person was rescued, and the helicopter took them away. And then the helicopter came back, and they dropped it to the same man again, and he gave it to someone else. And that carried on for all five other people. And then they came back for this man, and by the time they came back for this man, he was dead. He had drowned. He had given his life. He was the first one who could have been rescued. And he gave his life for other people. And so if we think of sacrifice, it could be any number of things. It could be daily things that we do on a day-to-day basis. Or it could be these bigger things that people have given their lives for other people. And I'd like you to think about this morning, sacrifice that you might have sacrificed some things for other people. Or someone might have sacrificed some things for you. And well, what is the sentiment that brings to you? For me, I had the opportunity to sacrifice one of my kidneys for Teo. But for me, that was an easy sacrifice. It wasn't really much of a sacrifice at all, given that there were some calculated risks, but we could see the benefits that would be for my own son. And so it's something that every year I happily reflect on in terms of something I was able to give up. But as you said, some of the things that some of you might have given up over the years might have endured a long time. There might have been a lot of suffering going through giving a sacrifice to someone else. And as we go through and think about this morning, I'd like you to think about that sentiment of what it is to receive the love of someone else who sacrificed their time for you, or the sentiment that you feel in terms of giving that sacrifice to other people. And as Jeff said and a couple of others, the Bible is full of sacrifices, images of sacrifices. If you think about the Old Testament, it's full of examples that God gave to Moses about Old Testament sacrificing of lambs. There's sin offerings, there are burnt offerings, there are the offerings of animals, and God laid out those sacrifices as a way to Moses, and they kept those sacrifices for about 1500 years, all the way to the point that Jesus came. And I'm not going to go into detail about those sacrifices themselves. Only to say that if you remember in Hebrews chapter 10, it tells us that those sacrifices, they were just a picture of the real sacrifice that was to come. And that sacrifice was going to be Jesus Christ. And those sacrifices in the Old Testament, they were never meant to make someone perfect. They were never meant to take away the sin or to cleanse those who offered them. Their purpose was to be a reminder of their sins. And Hebrews tells us it was impossible for those sacrifices to take away sins. All these things were just a symbol to point to one who is far greater, to point to one who is Jesus Christ, the one who is the ultimate sacrifice. And Jesus was the fulfillment of these sacrifices and the blood that was shed. And we read in the Bible, we read in the Gospels, we read how Jesus was taken. We read how Jesus was flogged, how he was beaten, how he was mocked, he was spat on. And then we read about how he was led away to die. And we read how his blood was shed. We read about the crown of thorns on his head. We read about the nails that went into his hands. We read about the nails that went into his feet. We read about the spear that was thrust into his sight. Like those Old Testament sacrifices, we read about that Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice to appease God's anger. And this morning, I want us to think about what was the love that Christ had for each one of you to be there on the cross and his blood to be shed. And he did that for each one of you here this morning. I want us to explore that sentiment, that love that he had for each one of you. So firstly, let's think about what did it cost him? Well, we've looked at that slightly already, but let's return to that passage in Ephesians and let's unpack that a little bit more. Paul wants to show the depth of Christ's love for you. In verse 2, he says, Christ loved you. And what did he do? He gave himself. He demonstrates his love for you. How? By giving himself. And that was the cost of his love. His own life. It wasn't just money. It wasn't time. It wasn't energy or inconvenience or even the suffering he went through. It was the full extent of sacrifice. He gave himself. He didn't send someone else. He sent himself. And let's consider Jesus' life. He was relatively young. He was 33 years old when he died. The Bible tells us his life, well, it was sinless. It was perfect. Peter, who lived with Jesus for 3 years non-stop, how did he describe Jesus? Well, he said he committed no sin. No deceit was found in his mouth. And we read about just before he died, his enemies couldn't find anything wrong with him, no fault with him. Pilate, as he was interviewing, said, what did he say to him? Well, I find no guilt in this man. You see, the life that Jesus gave for you, it was no ordinary life. It was a sinless life. And the Gospels are full of stories of how Jesus showed kindness to others. Full of stories of how he cared for the sick and healed the sick and the outcasts of society. He showed his wisdom, he showed his courage in the way he took on the religious elite of the time, or the political elite of the time. But he wasn't just someone who lived a worthy life. This was the Son of God, which means he was God as well as man. And this is Jesus. He knew God's anger towards sin. Yet he came and he went to the cross for you. And he paid it willingly so that each one of you can live. And consider that sacrifice that was involved. To the point where he could die. Jesus, he knew what was coming. He planned for it. How many of you, when you might have an interview or you've got to do something, you have that kind of that knot in your stomach when you know you've got to do something you don't really want to do? It might be a difficult conversation you have to have with your someone in work, or maybe your spouse, or with your children. I always used to get it before exams, that kind of feeling of worry that you have before before something big. Try to imagine what it would be to know what was ahead of you if you were Jesus. Knowing when he's in glory, he knows what he has to do. He knows that he's going to come to this earth. He knows he's going to be hungry. He knows he's going to be weary. He knows he's going to be rejected. He knows that he's going to suffer. He knows he's going to be beaten. And he knows he's going to die a horrendous death. He knows he's going to die a death, one of the worst kinds of torture known to man. And so when Ephesians 5 verse 2 says, Christ loved you and he gave himself up for you. Don't just breeze over those words. He gave himself up. Because his love for you is so great. And it's shown in the costliness of his sacrifice. Because his sacrifice was horrendous. And his sacrifice was to the point of death. He sacrificed his life. And if you think, Jesus was the most worthy person of living, of staying alive. And he was the least worthy person of dying. But this is the life that he gave up. And he gave up for you, that you might live. So that is what it cost him. But we can also see Jesus' love through in the fact that we don't actually deserve it. We don't deserve Jesus' love. And we get another glimpse of his love because we're so completely undeserving of it. Let's take a look and explore some of the concepts that we see in Romans chapter 5 that Tony read. Because you see, at just at the right time, when we were still powerless, or we were helpless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. We saw that some people do. We saw that Arlen Williams, he gave his life for someone else. So some people do give their lives for other people. But it's rare. But what did God do? He demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So it's very rare that people would sacrifice their life for others. But God, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Contrast the two. You see, when God chose to love us, he knew that it would cost his own son's death, his own son's life to rescue us. You see, we are not worthy of his love. In fact, as Tony said last week, we're worthy of the opposite. We're worthy of God's wrath. We are worthy, each one of us, as God's anger. We deserve to be punished. God would be perfectly good. God would be perfectly right. God would be perfectly just if he was just to punish each one of us. You see, consider this. God loved you. And he didn't wait for you to improve yourself. God didn't wait until you started to show an interest in him. God didn't wait until you started to come along to church. He didn't wait until you said sorry. No, the full sacrifice was made when you were still a sinner. When you didn't care about God. The penalty was paid before you were even born. And while you were powerless, while you were helpless, Christ loved you and he died for you. You see, we're unable to impress God. We're unable to make any contribution to being saved. We were completely ungodly. We did not fear God. We had no respect for God. We were godless. And that is when he loved us and he gave up his son. And even more than that, these verses go on to say why we were God's enemies. We were reconciled to him through the death of his son, in verse 10. We didn't deserve his love, but when we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And love, God's love is given to us who are not worthy of it. People like you, people like me. And we should always remember that sheer, that free mercy and love that he has shown us. And hopefully you can see that depth of love that he has for you. That while you were a sinner, he loved you. You do not deserve God's love. But he still loves you. And he gave his own son for you. But we also see God's amazing love through some of the amazing things he gives us if we love him and we trust in him. Let's come back to those words in Ephesians chapter 4 and 5. And let's consider some of the benefits. They might not be obvious to you, but some of the benefits that we have in being being a believer, in trusting and loving Jesus as he has loved us. And the first benefit that we see there is that Christ loves us, but what happens? He gives himself up for us. And what does that? What is that to God? Well, that is a fragrant offering. You might think, well, what does that mean? Well, it means that God was pleased. God was pleased with the sacrifice. You see, now God, through this sacrifice, God is favourable towards us. He accepts this sacrifice. And there are more benefits. Not only is he favourable to us, he takes us into his family. Look at the words in 1 John chapter 3 there. How great a love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. We are children. Don't take this for granted. If we believe and trust on him, then we are his children. You see, God might not have saved us at all. He might have said, well, enemies, they don't deserve to be saved. And that's that. Or he might have said, well, my son is too precious. I can't give up my own son for these people who are my enemies. Or he could have said, well, I'll save them from hell. I'll forgive their sins. And I'll give them some kind of eternal existence on another planet, but I don't want anything to do with them. But he didn't. He redeems us. He rescues us. He heals us. All the way to adopting us. All the way to making us a member of his family. A child of God. Not only are we favourable towards God. Not only are we a child of God. But also he comes to live in us. Through his Holy Spirit. He gives us something of himself. Something of himself to come and live in us. So we take on this family resemblance. Because if we're in God's family, he comes and lives in us. And so much that he comes and lives in us so that we can be part of his family. And we come to be more and more resembling him. Because he wants that closeness. He wants to have that communion with you each and every day. So much so that he's planted his own spirit in your heart if you believe in him. And not only does he plant that spirit in you, but he wants you to be transformed, to be more and more like him. He's transforming us from inside. He's transforming our minds so that we value what he values. He's transforming us so that we can assess things the way that he does. He's transforming us so that we can know what is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight. And through that transformation, we'll become different from the world so that we shine like a light. So that we shine like little fragments of God's character in the community that within which we live. Little fragments of truth, little fragments of righteousness, little fragments of love to the world around us. And in many ways, being transformed to be like God is the most human, the most fully human that we can be. Just like God was aiming for in the first place. We have been transformed to be more and more like Jesus. But in another sense, if we're being transformed, then that's going to set us against the world. And that's why the verse goes on to say that the world does not know us. In some ways, we don't make sense to the world, to the people around us. But in effect, that's what God wants. Because he wants us to be light. And people have a desperate need to see the light. To see the light of Jesus through us. And Philippians 2 says, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. And then you will appear, you will shine among them like stars in the sky. What a wonderful image. That if we are being transformed, we are a child of God, and then we are like stars in the sky. And talking of stars, actually one of the other benefits that we will have in being loved by God is that we inherit what God owns. In Romans 8, we're described as heirs. If we are God's children, then we will get a part of the family heritage. And what is God's heritage? What is Jesus' heritage? What is it that he has? Well, he has everything. All things belong to you. We have all things through him who loves us. You see, and that should impact our lives. It should impact the way that we think about possessions. It should impact the things, the way that we think about what we own. Or our desire to have things. When we've already got everything. We should focus on being what God wants us to be instead of having what God has provided. And so we can see the depth of his love through some of the amazing benefits that come to us through that sacrifice. Not only is God favourable towards us, he has taken us into his family. And then he comes and lives and he gives something of himself to us. So that then he can transform us. And he has given us everything. Because we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So hopefully this morning you're starting to get an idea of the depth of Jesus' love by what it cost him. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. And there are some amazing benefits in understanding and trusting in that love. But let me ask you a simple question. Have you accepted Jesus' love for you here this morning? Hopefully you can see that God loves you. Jesus loves you. But have you understood the sacrifice that God made through Jesus Christ for you? Hopefully you've seen that he was willing to come down from glory. To live on earth, face a horrendous death for you. And that sacrifice was absolutely necessary. There was no other good enough to pay the price of your sin and my sin. It was free. He was willing to come. He embraced it. He wasn't cornered. He wasn't pushed to do it. He did it willingly. Jesus had the power to rise up from the dead, from death. He was dead and he rose again on the third day. How much more could he have come down from the cross? But he stayed there. He took that punishment. He loved you so much that he took that. He gave his own life for you. Even though you don't deserve it. He loves you with all his heart. Not a fraction of his heart. Not with a little inclination and God kind of pushing him to go and do it. No, he loves us with all his heart. And he did it for you personally. And for those of you, if you have not trusted him, then I encourage you, understand the love that he has for you. Do not turn away from this love. Do not turn your back on this love. He wants you to enjoy the benefits of being in a relationship with him. And he invites you. He invites you this morning to become part of his family. And he wants to live in your heart. And he wants to come and dwell there. He wants to come and be and live with you each and every day. If you have not accepted him this morning, then he calls you to come and accept that love that he has shown for you. Accept that sacrifice that he has made for you. And come and turn away from the wrong things that you might have done and accept him. And he will come and live in you. But I know that many of you here, you've already done that. Many of you have accepted Jesus into your own life. But let me ask you this question. Do you feel that love in your heart? Do you feel is that love evident in your heart? Because knowing and understanding about God's love, I've not said anything new this morning, you know all that. But do you experience it on a day-to-day basis in your heart? Are you gripped by it? Do you taste it in the way that you live your life? Because we can learn about God's love. But like that sentiment when we were thinking about the beginning, about that sacrifice, do you feel that sentiment? Do you experience it on a day-to-day basis? Because Jesus' sacrifice and his love should inspire us. And God pours out that love to us through his Holy Spirit. And it should be evident in our day-to-day lives. Because we look at those verses again in Ephesians. Every day we should be walking in love for others. And who is our example? Jesus Christ. His love. Walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us. Hopefully you've had a glimpse of what that love is. Well, we should be walking in that way of love. And Jesus' sacrificial love should be our standard. That should be our example. And it should be shown by our giving our love, our time, our money, our effort for others here in this church amongst us, or the community with which we are part. And it's a practical love. It's not just a theoretical love. Let us not just love with words or speech, but with actions. And in truth. And the examples that John gives us, whether that be our material possessions, whether that be our brother or sister, people here, Christians abroad, whether they are in need, how are we showing our love towards them? How are we feeling for them, showing pity for others. You see, our love should be a practical love for others. Acted out in a practical way. And we should be humble. We should love others, but we should be humble. Well, who is our example there? Again, Jesus Christ. In humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. And as we saw that, this love that we have might mean, or this humility might mean that we have to suffer. Or we're going to be mistreated for doing good. We should be different from the world so that we are shining like lights. We should be different. We should love others as Christ loved. And that in itself will be like lights. Lights in the community where we are. We might have to suffer for what we believe. Well, what does Peter advise us? Well, he says that we should suffer patiently. As Jesus, again, is our example. And his sacrificial death. If you suffer for doing good and you endure it, well, this is commendable before God. Because why? Because Christ, he suffered for you. And he, again, is our example in suffering. And this is what Jesus calls you to this morning. And he wants us to understand the depths of love that he has for each one of you. To believe, but also to feel that love that he has for you. And if you haven't come to him before, come to him again. If you are not a believer here this morning, come and accept that love. If you are a believer here this morning, then think about that love that he has for you. That he wants that love to be evident in your life. And if you do not feel or experience that love, then call out to him once again. And invite him back in. Think about the depth of the love that he has for you. What it cost him. That you do not deserve it. And all the benefits that we have in being in his family. That God is favourable to us. That we might follow God's example. That we might walk in the way of love. Just as Christ loved us. And gave himself up for us. As a sacrifice to God. Amen.